Geek Radio Daily with a moment from Mysticon 2018. This is the Sunday morning Q&A with Claire Kramer, who was supposed to have another interviewer. But the interviewer got sick, and they asked me to come in. With no more questions, no more prep, but that's okay. We talk scholarships, Joyrider, and wrestling. Claire Kramer is a trooper.
Yeah, we have the brains here with us today, so which is fantastic. Ooh, what that means.
Second form of coffee.
Yes.
What?
This very strong coffee.
Okay.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, she needs to get down. Okay, hold on. Be careful. All right. Groovy. So fantastic.
Just fly off that stage, honey. One, two.
So, how are you holding up this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Outstanding. All things considered, pretty good.
After
about four or five drinks at 2:30 in the morning at the Catclave parties when Barbara's like, I need a favor. I was like, what do you need? Oh, 10 a.m. Sure, we can do that.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
Sure. Oh, for you, anything. I'll do anything for you. Goodness,
well, thanks.
You know that.
I'm glad you're here.
Aw. See, now what exactly is the story? So your original interviewer is not feeling well?
I don't know. I just go where I'm told.
Okay.
Yep, I just show up and here I am. So good morning, everyone.
See, what I wanted to get on tape, the story that Barbara told me, then we'll jump to the good stuff because you want to know about her. Barbara says to me, he's like, yeah, we told her that he's not feeling well. And then Claire goes, well, then I want Billy Flynn.
Yes, I did say that.
You
yeah.
did? Could you say that? Could you say that again?
I want Billy Flynn.
Boom, and it's on tape. Yes, my weekend
yes.
is complete.
No, absolutely. I was like, we had such a good time. So
we have to start. We've already sort of foreshadowed last night. And the scholarship auction.
Okay.
So at the scholarship auction every year at Mysticon, we get a local student, we find, you know, boom, they get a scholarship, they get to use that to help pay for college. So a couple of years ago, we had Sean Marr, who decided to come in, he wanted to help, and he told the crowd, okay, earmuffs. He said, okay, I've got a bunch of random shit at my house that you really, really, really want to have. And the more money you pay, the more random shit I will give you. And this lady said, I'm going to do better than him.
Yeah, because everybody all weekend's like, well, Sean did this, and Sean ran around naked in the hallways, and Sean
oh, did he.
Gave everyone a French kiss who came through his photo op. So I'm like, okay, well.
And his lips are so puffy.
Let so me, soft.
Oh, goodness, yeah. they are. So we raised $1,500 on your mystery box and an EP credit for your film, Joyride.
Yes, and another $250.
Another $150 from someone who's like, if you'll give me 7 autographed photos, I'll give $150. The same gentleman paid $50, as did this magnanimous gentleman, another $50, to get chops, wrestling chops done that you performed.
The first guy paid to get
Carla.
Yeah, trying to get paid to get Carla chopped.
So $1,750.
$1,750 of our scholarship money came from your participation alone. And they're still calculating it, but as of right now, we're at $5,000.
Mm.
And that is the best we've ever done.
So that's awesome.
You outdid him on your box alone and the overall total.
All right. Well, that's good. I mean, you know, I think that it's wonderful that as part of Mysticon, which I've kind of fallen in love with this convention over the weekend, you know, I understand why
one
people come back.
One of us.
Yeah, because it's like...
So tell Sean that he can suck it.
Yeah.
Well, tell Sean he's got to come back and try to outdo her. And so then we'll just keep this rivalry
battle
going.
Battle of the, you know, Firefly and Buffy.
And then we can make the ultimate happen like 3 or 4 years and just have you both wrestle. Because you've got the chop down now.
Right, yeah. No.
I love that you didn't want to hit him hard. You were concerned. I like, and he's like, no, you got to do that again.
I know. I'm like, I tried. But he's tough, man. He's tough.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, so Mysticon, you fall in love? You having a good time?
I'm having a great time. I love that it's like a summer camp, I feel like, or, you know, a winter camp, but where people go and they get to connect with each other once a year and you know, it's a safe space to express what you love. So I think it's great.
Indeed. We're all family. So and thank you folks for joining us, and you'll be back forever because that's just how it is. You can't go.
You have an open invitation now to come back anytime you want.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's okay. She wanted last night at the Masquerade.
Why didn't you auction her off? The little one.
My wife wouldn't let me. Oh, she's back. Oh, good job. The Contigo was very important.
She is a hero. She
is. Yeah.
Save the coffee. She kept saying she didn't want to do the masquerade. No. But last night we got to do the masquerade and she wanted to get up on the stage. So before we brought everybody out, I let her get up on the stage because
that's funny.
I had a little bit of sway there. So that is good. So an EP credit, which means you've decided to make a film. You're a film, you've wrote some scripts, now you're directing and stuff. Have you always wanted to do that side, or did you find the more you're in the business, I got to do that too?
Well, I mean, I think when you're young, for me at least, the path was in front of the camera.
Right.
And establishing and learning as much as I could about the process of filmmaking and television, making television, because that's the only way you can learn is by doing. And my entry point was as an actress. But as I sort of grew in the business, yes, I did know that I wanted to direct. And so I knew that was going to be something that I gravitated to more and more. And I've directed some theater, a lot of stuff online, a lot of shows and things. And of course, as you know, with podcasts, that's a little bit of directing because of that, 150 episodes of that. And then, when the opportunity to direct Joyrider came along, I was like, absolutely.
So when are we going to see, when is this coming out?
Well, right now I'm in the process of, we finished shooting in, June, and I am cutting an 8-minute assembly right now.
Okay.
And from that assembly, I have a film group, a really great distributor who is going to look at that, but has said, if that meets our standards, we're going to give you $500,000 to finish the film. And so then I will finish it. And I'd like to premiere it maybe at Toronto Film Festival in September.
Well, that'd be cool.
Yeah. I don't want it to just like kind of go into the abyss of like buy the DVD or, I really want it to have a release of, a limited theatrical release. I don't think it probably will get a wide release because it's not that type of movie. It's a documentary.
Okay. And what is our subject material?
Well, the documentary is about this athlete, Andrei Kailik, who I've known for 25 years. He was studying in Prague in 2003 and basically went out for a night of drinking with his friends and went to breakfast in the morning, like 7 a.m. And on his way home from breakfast, they have no idea how it happened, but he was run over by a train. And the train went over like 3/4 of his body. So he lost both his legs. Mm. One leg, there's no femur at all. The other leg, there's like 6 inches of a bone, of a femur. And, of course, they told him he's not going to live. And then they told him he'll never sit up and he'll never walk. And, he just was like, that's not going to fucking work for me. So, he has become this crazy endurance athlete who does like double Ironman and really long distance endurance races. So he spent 3 years trying to qualify for this race called Race Across America, which leaves Oceanside, California and ends up in Annapolis, Maryland in 12 days. And athletes have to, bike there within 12 days and they sleep about 90 minutes a night.
Like a con.
It's similar, but a little crazier.
Not as much drinking as you're going down the bike.
And these able-bodied athletes do it, and only about 320 people have ever completed the race in its, 35 years of existence. Nobody as a hand cyclist. So he qualified, and we got a film crew together and filmed the 12 days.
Wow.
And it's amazing. You can check out right now. There's a lot of footage we put up from the race on the Joyrider Facebook page.
Okay.
You can see some edits. If you go to joyrider.com, you can see the trailer I cut initially because I had been following him for like 3 years while he was trying to qualify. In fact, I would love to play it here, but I don't know what that screen is for and how that would happen. It's an amazing story, and it was crazy, crazy thing to direct because, the guy was in motion 23 hours a day, and it's crazy. The guy, he completed the race. He broke, world records, course records, everything. And this is someone who, he's so cool, and he's so, he's normal. Like I was saying yesterday, people think, oh, he lost his legs and he must be like a Tony Robbins. So inspirational. No, he's like one of us, he's just a normal guy. And I think that's what I'm attracted to most about him as a subject, of the film. For example, he was competing in another race. It was a triathlon. And when you're a double amputee, obviously you don't run for the running part. So you use a racing wheelchair and then you use for the running portion, and then you use like a hand cycle for the biking portion.
Right.
Well, so he was competing in this Ironman, and he felt that with his racing, he felt like with his racing wheelchair, he had an unfair advantage against the other wheelchair athletes, because a lot of times wheelchair athletes have MS or they have, you know, some degenerative disease.
Right.
And he is just like half a body. Like his he's totally physically able and built. It would just be like any of us lost our legs, you know? So he felt he had an unfair advantage against these other wheelchair athletes. So for the biking portion, the like whatever, 50 miles of biking, he used a hospital wheelchair.
What?
And he still won. He's like, and he actually was invited to do the Rio Olympics, the Paralympics, and he said, no, it's not fair because I'm completely physically able, my upper body, and I would destroy these other athletes that have MS or that have, you know, the other wheelchair athletes. So he's just a really, really great guy.
Yeah, I already love this guy now. That's fantastic.
Yeah, he's amazing.
That is fantastic. Well, that's one of the fun things I've told everybody this weekend about you is I'm just stunned at just how much of just a regular person you actually are. You're just a real person. And not to toot my own horn, but I've got to interview quite a few celebrities, not as many as you, but I've had some, and so many times people are in their own head or whatever, but no, you're just like, oh yeah, it's fantastic. How do you stay grounded?
I mean, I don't really know because I don't really view myself, I mean, listen, we're all going through this life together, and my philosophy on life is like, it's making the best, you know, between all the nightmares, and we know that life is filled with nightmares, and it's really about, you know, enjoying the time in between, and then when you are hit with a really difficult situation, just being prepared for it and keeping your chin up, you know? I don't know. I don't have a lot of, like, self-reflection to myself.
Right.
I just...
You have kids.
I have kids.
So that kind of keeps you grounded.
I think so, yeah, because, you know, it would be great to be on a set all day and, you know, yes, Claire, what would you like? And then I go home and it's like, where's my juice box?
I said bendy straw. Yeah. What?
Yeah, I mean, the things that kids lose their shit over, as you know, and then I have four of them within, you know, they're 18 to 24 months apart, all four of them. So they gang up on me, and I'm like, I'm sorry. Mommy's trying, you know.
You're very much involved in the Me Too movement. You're very much involved in people just, you know, being just decent to each other. A question that I wonder, because sadly Hollywood is a stupid place, that this is a more difficult issue for women. How difficult is it for Hollywood to transition out of teen roles to adult roles? Do they let you? Do they want to keep you shoehorned? Because they made Kevin Bacon lose his virginity well into his 30s in movies.
You know, I think there is that tough transition point. I don't know in particular. I think it's just a tough industry. And, you know, it ebbs and it flows for any actor. You know, you're going to work and you're going to work a lot and you're going to think, oh, man, I'm always going to work. This is awesome. And then a little dry spell comes and you're like, oh, I'm never going to get hired again.
Why did I do this?
So I think it's not just about, like, teens transitioning to adult roles,
right,
but about just keeping your vase full or your vessel full of experiences and keeping your real, quote unquote, your real life full of interesting things so that you bring something different and unique to each audition or each character you approach.
If you missed Friday's Q&A, we had a wonderful moment where we learned that for the audition for Glory, you didn't know who exactly Glory was. So they cast you based just on what you brought to a character you didn't really know.
Correct. Crazy, huh?
That is just weird. So how much of that original audition of you, I mean, did all of that stay? Or are they like, okay, now you need to do this a little more, this
no,
a little more?
No, they let me just kind of go with the character. And then they just started writing crazy stuff and I just started saying it. And that's kind of how it went. I mean, there wasn't ever a point where we had a collaborative meeting about Glory,
right,
per se. We just, you know, it was just sort of, okay, here she is. This is what's happening. And go for it.
I heard that's Joss's style, really.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I think that from what I saw in my time on the show, that definitely was his style.
So the expression that Glory makes when people just don't see how brilliant she is and she's right, and that look you give, did you have to practice that, or is that just a natural reaction of
yours? I did not have to practice that look. That is a look that is, you know, if you know me as a person, a lot of people say, you can't hide your emotions. You know, I always know exactly how you're feeling. And that's true of me. Okay. Good as a good or a bad thing. I just am not very good at masking what's going on.
That should be liberating for everybody else. Far too many of us put on that mask and try to hide it. So to honestly know where someone's coming from, I think that's a better thing.
Yeah, and a lot of times, especially when I moved from New York to Los Angeles, a lot of times I'd say something, people would be like, oh, that's rude. I'm like, it's not rude. I'm just telling you how I feel. There's a difference, and I'm just saying it nicely, you know.
You want rude? Let me have a drink or two first.
Yeah. But, yeah, I much like the character, wear my heart on my sleeve, and Glory just wore her, you know, her black heart on her sleeve.
That is a word for it. Okay, so let's see, 1032. So, folks, who's got questions? Let's do this. Yes, sir.
Bring It On came out in 2000, and your appearance in Buffy was around 2000 as well. How did that transition take place? I'm sure Bring It On was filmed probably before 2000, probably like 99.
Excuse me. Bring It On was filmed in, I would have to look, but I think it was in either 99 or 2000. There wasn't a big turnaround for that movie. And basically, I started filming Buffy before it came out. And then it was kind of weird. Bring It On came out, and I think my episode premiered within like 2 weeks of each other. So all of a sudden, I went from like totally never worked in, you know, to like people were hiring me left and right, which was great.
TV and a movie.
Yeah, so it was kind of weird how that worked. And the characters, although they're similar, because, you know, Courtney and Glory both are, you know,
demons from hell. Gods from hell. Pardon me.
The funny thing is, I was only 6 months older when I played Glory. But if you look at the two characters, it seems like Glory's like 20 years older.
I was thinking that, so your hair is
being... Yeah, yeah. So it was kind of weird. I think that combination of characters hitting at the same time, people were like, I don't know what to do with her. Who is she?
Obviously, you know? Anything, because there it is. I mean, those two spectrums, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Of the casts you've worked with, are there like casts that, I won't say preferred, but that you stay in touch with more?
Definitely. I mean, the girls, and I said this before, but the girls from Buffy and myself, we're all very close. Myself, Julie, Charisma, Emma, Amber, Jewel, Summer, we're all, even though we weren't all on the same show, and sometimes on the same show but not at the same time, through events like this, we've become very, very close. So, you know, I mean, I was the maid of honor in Julie's wedding, and, you know, she's the godmother of my kids, and, you know, we just all are really close. The guys, I'm close with the guys, too, like Jay, Nathan, Sean, Tom Link, but it's something about the girls, like, we just... You know, girls like to go out. We like to go have cocktails. So, guys, we just see when we see them, but we make an effort. Yeah, so if you follow my Instagram, you'll see a lot of pictures of me with the other Whedon girls.
So that means you don't hang out with Michael Paré as much?
I haven't seen Michael in a long time.
It's a shame. I love Michael Paré. Such a cool guy.
Yeah, he was very nice to work with. And that movie I shot literally, I think, 3 weeks after I had my first kid.
You keep getting these projects right after you give birth. What is that about?
Well, I filmed a lot pregnant, too. But, you know, I mean, when you got four kids, that's what happens.
So do you work more in the stages of pregnancy or right after or not?
No.
Is that why you did four kids to keep working? Is that
No. No. I don't know why I did four kids. But but it just happened. You know, you just keep working. What'd you say?
Did you miss freshman bio?
I did. it's just, you know, when you're a woman, you work pregnant. And you work right after you have the baby.
Fierce.
There is no such thing as maternity leave in our industry.
Or in this country, really. but especially for entertainment.
Yeah, I do know some of my friends have really great jobs where their company supports maternity leave, and even for the dad. You know,
oh, wow.
Paternity leave.
Wow.
You know, I always said I wish I could have one more kid so that I could, excuse me, so that I could, like, enjoy the pregnancy and enjoy having the baby for like 2 months even before I had to go back to work, because I literally was back to work like 3 to 4 days after all my kids. It's crazy.
No, because if you get pregnant again, someone's going to cast you, and
yeah,
it's going to happen. All right, anybody else?
How much to chop him?
Well, I was thinking about this. So we've raised $1,750. So we need $250 to really make it a nice $2,000. So.
I thought you said it was over $5,000.
Well, $1,750
was just her. Of the $5,000 is just from her.
No, you can't.
Kill me.
You can, but you know.
But if everyone in the room would like to pull some money together, because a lot of you, I'm sure, want to see me get hit by somebody.
I would like the rest of today to raise $250, but I don't. It would have to be something special. I don't want people just giving their money away, like so. You know. I think of something.
You know, I understand all those words, but not in that order.
Yeah.
I don't quite get that.
I gotta think of something good. At closing ceremony, maybe I'll offer something really good.
Ooh, that would be.
Yeah.
Well, real quick, I mean, if anybody's got some extra cash, I mean, I think I can speak for you on this. If you'd like to be an EP for Joyrider, let's talk some money. Let's throw some money up here. Remember, it's for a scholarship option, so you're helping a child.
That was one chance, one credit last night.
Oh,
that was
man.
It. That was kept.
Everett was...
You offered two.
But someone was not smart enough to take her up on that offer at the time.
Yeah, I'd say if someone else wants to put $1,500 to the scholarship, I'd consider a second one.
Okay, well,
you're right,
because
I did last night, so it would be only fair.
Yeah, I can't do that.
No, that was...
Well, if you couldn't do $250 for me, I think we know you can't do that. Because she's already going to kill you as it is.
Yes.
He's like my new BFF, so leave him alone. Stop harassing him.
Okay. So obviously everyone still knows, you know, most people know Buffy. They love the Buffy. I'm kind of just, Mike. Hold on.
He's so greedy.
I am. I need to, because this is the one I really need to know.
Okay.
Of all the projects you've done, and obviously Buffy probably would be there, but what's the thing that you have loved to do the most that we probably don't know about and should?
I went through a period where I played the victim in a lot of movies. There's two movies in particular that I won awards for, but no one has ever seen.
We saw Big Ass Spider.
No, not that one.
Okay.
I won a Young Performer Award for this movie I did called Indoor with Jed Nelson and Tom Arnold.
Wait, that's not the two names I thought I was going to hear.
Oh my God, who chewed Nicorette like crazy? It's like eight pieces of Nicorette at a time. I was like, this is bizarre. Like, you know. Anyway, he played a serial killer, so it worked. And I played a victim in that movie. I didn't have any lines, actually.
Okay.
So it was a challenging performance. It was, you know, it was really interesting. So it's called Indoor. And then a movie called, this has the worst title ever.
Okay.
And this is why this movie didn't do well. It was called The Mummy and the Armadillo.
The two epic battles of legend finally come together to decide who's champion, Mummy or Armadillo.
So it was Jonathan Scheck and myself and Busy Phillips and Brad Renfro and Betty Buckley. So like amazing cast.
Yeah.
And the movie's really good, but nobody ever saw it because of the stupid title.
I don't know. I've never heard that title.
But both movies that I spend quite amount of on-camera time tied up. So.
Well then, so if that's your thing, that's your go-to. Hey, you want to ask a question?
Yeah.
I would love to know which is more fun to play. The evil badass or a really good person, the protagonist or the
antagonist? For some reason, and not cast playing a lot of like the girl next door roles. I don't know why. I don't think I've ever. Maybe okay. I just did this Lifetime movie that's out now called Wrong House, that I played the girl. I guess the lead girl who was just a nice girl married to the husband. I got tied up in that movie too.
Hey, there you go.
So weird. Now that I'm
tied
thinking
up,
about
the
it.
Claire Kramer story.
So I don't really get cast in those roles a lot. I don't know why. I think as an actress, I just gravitate towards roles that are more complex, and those tend to usually be the antagonistical characters. So I like layered characters. I'm not really into just I just. It doesn't really interest me just playing the normal girlfriend or girl next door or wife, you know? like playing Glory, for example, I mean, you get to get out everything you could never say in real life.
Right.
You get to go to work and just say and have fun. And so there's something liberating about getting rid of that social conditioning and just saying whatever. So, yeah, that's one of the appeals to playing a character like Glory.
I found a way to do that and get paid for it, whereas I just get shunned everywhere. Very nice. Very nicely done. All right. Yes, sir. Do you have another one?
Yeah. Favorite episode of Buffy to film, and then favorite episode you'd go back and watch, like, at any random time?
Favorite episode to film was the 100th episode, because it was about me, also. And there was a lot of stunt work, which I liked, and it was the culmination of the character, and it was the culmination of the season, and it was maybe the culmination of the show, because remember, the show was canceled after season 5, and then it moved over to UPN. So that was definitely my favorite episode to film. Favorite episode to go back and watch? You know, I haven't really watched any in such a long time. I think I'd like to watch No Place Like Home, the first episode that I was in. Yeah.
Interesting. Wow. That was... I was so fun going through... Because when Buffy was originally out, I didn't get to hit every episode because we just didn't have DVRs and whatever. But I saw bits and pieces, so I knew what would happen the whole way through. And when I took the journey with my wife, and at the end of the season, you know, when Buffy's sister pops up, my wife's like, wait... What happened? I'm like, no. It's what's about to happen that's going to get you.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm.
reality just shifted on its axis in a mad way.
Mm-hmm.
You ever seen a show try to do anything that weird? I mean, Twin Peaks didn't do something that weird. Bring in everybody knows this character. Why don't you remember?
Well, I mean, Roseanne switched the daughter. Becky, the second Becky, the first Becky, you know.
Her coming back was great. Where the hell have you been?
they had the episode where DJ was growing up and in therapy. It's like, first there was one Becca, and then there was another, and then she came back, and then there was a first Becca. And
exactly. Yeah, that is funny. I think they're revamping Roseanne.
Yeah.
Yep.
All the Beckys are coming back.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
But in different roles. Like, the original Becky's going to be her, but then the other one's going to be somebody else, too.
So. Oh, that's awesome.
I like the other Becky.
Yeah.
But I like the original Darren, so I couldn't go with her the whole way.
So you ask if shows have ever done anything. I mean, have you ever watched any soap operas? I mean, that the Dawn thing was like nothing compared to what happens on those shows.
I thought you were dead. I was. All right, we're at crunch time. Who's got another question before we tell you everywhere you can go for the rest of the day?
She does.
Oh.
Your kids, do they ever see you on TV? And, like, what are their reactions if they've ever seen
you?
Mommy, you're so evil and you're tormenting these people.
Like, to that instance, like, you know, Glory has some, like, really insane parts. Like, that's one of my favorite things about Glory. She kind of, like, has this moment where she kind of goes crazy.
Yeah.
Your kids, when they see that, or have they ever seen stuff like that?
They actually haven't seen too much of Buffy. They've seen Bring It On. And they love to tell people, because they can say a curse word, that they see big-ass spider. So, I'm saying big-ass spider. Yeah. Big-ass spider, you know. And actually, my oldest is actually in big-ass spider. She's the little girl, I think she was like 4 or 5 at the time, where the tentacle like is coming down in the park and the little girl just barely walks off the thing. And then my kids are in another movie I did, Tales of Halloween, with Pollyanna McIntosh and her little story. And my one daughter, River, is the one who's like, trick or treat, smell my feet. So they like to be put in the movies. When I get a part, it's really not like, congrats, Mom, or like, they're like, who am I playing? What'd you say?
How great is it to work
It's
with
so your great. And they're really good little actresses. And of course, everyone's like, do you make them do it? You can't make a kid do anything. So they're totally on their own if they feel like doing stuff, but they're really talented, and they've, you know, like my one daughter today has a pilot audition for a series regular, so, you know.
Okay.
They're my book out their SAG cards.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, you need to be earning. This is a family of 6. No free rides.
We all contribute to the house.
We're all artists here. My one son, the little baby, was on Shameless for a season. I was like, see? He's doing it right.
There it is, bringing home the bacon. So what's your schedule the rest of the day?
Claire will be autographing from 12 to 1 in the dealer room, so come by and say goodbye. And then we are at closing ceremonies at 3 o'clock. So.
Okay.
Cool.
And if you want to go, I'm sorry, you guys, I was late. So if you want to go a little longer, that's fine with me.
Okay, yeah, the Zach people can wait. No, she's already said. It's fine. Don't try to correct her. She'll send you somewhere bad. Don't do it.
The Hellmouth has opened in the form of a big chocolate cake.
Did you get some of the cake?
I did. It was delicious.
Right? Carla makes the greatest cakes.
I mean, she was like, there's 12 dozen eggs and 90 pounds of butter. I'm like, this is going to be delicious.
It's the highlight every year. It's like, okay, who's the guest of honor? And oh my God, what is the cake going to be?
Yeah.
And that's why God in his infinite wisdom created the insulin pump.
Yes, exactly. That and Slurpees.
So you didn't get to make it to Rocky Horror the other night.
I didn't, no.
That is a shame. I understand, allegedly, apparently someone has filmed it, so I hope they send you with a copy of that. Because I don't remember if we told you, but it was the superhero version.
I know, that would have been great. I can only be in so many places at one time.
Oh, I know. We were, before you showed up, we were talking about that. It was like, God, how busy must this be? I mean, like, I just have a few panels. But dear God, everybody's here to see you. How much does that ever just get to you where you're like, I need a second. Stop being my kids.
Well, first of all, no, not everyone. I don't believe everyone's here to see me. I believe you guys are here because you're a community and you come together once a year and celebrate what you love.
Okay, we do like each other. We do.
I see it. You guys walk down the hall. Hi, Bill. Hi, Bob. Hi. You know, it's like, it's really inspiring. So I feel like, you know, for me to be here, I'm just enjoying my time with you guys and adding to your experience. It's not about, you know.
I told you she was the most grounded person I've ever talked to. There it is, right there. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So you're going to come back and see us?
Absolutely.
See? Tell Carla to get this into the rotation.
Okay? Yeah.
Fantastic.
Claire, you have to come to geek trivia for chocolate.
Oh, when's that?
What time is it, Bill?
Am I on that?
Yes.
I am?
Don't you do it?
I did it last year because...
You're like, you're running it?
So? But I stumped him at Geek Trivia for Chocolate. I actually got a question that he didn't know the answer.
Ooh, what was it?
What was the series that Pam Dauber did before Mork?
Before Mork and Mindy, that's right. Oh, my God.
And what was it?
She played a nun called Sister Terry. I got a whole handful of chocolate for that.
Okay, so wait, tell me more about this geek trivia chocolate, because I like games and I like to win.
I got to fill in last...
You beat me yesterday in the one game.
Well, in fairness, it was whoever answered first got to pick an answer. You answered first, so technically you beat yourself. I did not.
My strategy at that point was, because I don't know Carla very well, obviously. I thought I did,
but apparently...
I literally just met her. I love her. I think she's my soul sister. But so my strategy at that point was just answer first and fast. And I figured she had done so many truths in a row that the next one was going to be an untruth.
Yeah. You try to get in the mind of these people, and it's almost impossible.
I know.
Sometimes.
They throw chocolate at me. They literally throw chocolate.
Yeah, a question gets asked, you answer it, and boom, chocolate gets thrown at
you. Okay, great.
1 o'clock.
It's 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock
in Vernon. Steve Long is
back. Steve is back. Okay. Steve couldn't do it last year, so I didn't get a 2:30 in the morning after I'm rather inebriated asking that question, so I had some time to prepare for it, which was pretty good. But yeah, you'll get chocolates.
Okay, good. Well,
and if Carla shows up, she'll just throw chocolates at you no matter what. She'll throw them hard, too.
I'm signing at that time. Am I
1 o'clock?
Over at 1.
Ooh, so you could come in.
Okay, we'll see.
Throw everybody off their game. They'll forget everything that they were thinking of. It'll be fantastic.
In the middle of the road. Because you just have to pop up with catcher's mitt.
Okay, got it. Done.
See, that's what the bag is for. You just go...
Yes, that is perfect, yeah.
Okay, well, fantastic. Well, please, ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Claire Kramer.
Thank you guys for coming down.
Thank you again to the nicest person ever, Claire Kramer. Follow her on Twitter at Claire Kramer and on Instagram at Claire Kramer Official. Go to mysticon-va.com and get ready to plan 2019. We will be there. Will you? The answer should be yes. Look for more from Mysticon at geekradiodaily.com.
I want Billy Flynn.